Good morning, everyone. My name is Brian. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater and food addict, and grateful that I was asked to share at this meeting. The opinions expressed here are mine and mine alone. This is my story, and I stick with it. I was born into compulsive overeating very early in life. My father was an alcoholic, and I'm the oldest of four boys. And when my father got drunk, my mother would sit me down in front of the TV with my favorite meal and let me watch, cartoons or anything else I wanted. And I felt good, about sitting down in front of a TV and, mom, can I have more? And, mom, didn't know any better. Mom would just bring me in more food, more food, more food. And my father drank a lot, so there was a lot of more foods. And that behavior just like kind of stuck with me is, or that food behavior, sitting in front of a TV eating just made me feel good. And I did a lot of that. And my mother, not knowing any better, was a bit of an enabler, I mean, that's what we would call her today. But at the time, she just didn't know any better. She had no help. Both my parents were born in Ireland, moved here, and didn't have a lot of friends, and were just trying to make it on their own. And as I said, my father was a drinker, and so as my mother had got pregnant with more kids, it made it that much more difficult. And I share that, being the oldest of four boys, a lot of my dad's responsibilities would fall onto my shoulders as I got older. We were supers in an apartment building in the Bronx in New York, and we were responsible for, the maintenance of the building. So every Saturday morning, at 10, 11, 12 years old, I'd get up and I'd get a bucket, hot water with some soap, and I would go mop down six flights of stairs. I learned how to replace washers in, leaky sinks, how to replace burned out fuses, the old round fuses that you used to have to screw in and screw out. And I'd be playing outside with my so-called friends, and I'll explain that so-called in a second. My mother would call up to me, Brian, I need you, and I'd come back, and it would, my father would be passed out, and I'd have to do one of these chores that really, my dad should have done. My friends, again, so-called friends, when they'd see my father stumbling down the block, they had, nicknames for him. And that really angered me, and I got into a lot of fights because of it. And so I grew up with a lot of anger and resentment and shame. I got heavier and heavier. Kids had nicknames for me. But I was fairly strong. I mean, I used to have to, pick up these heavy garbage cans and carry them up a flight of stairs, and I loved playing American football, and I did that at an early age. My mother tried to make my life as normal as possible. So and I loved to play what they call the offensive line. So I got to hit people all the time, and it was a way of me taking out a lot of frustration and anger. I would go to practice, and I'd line up, and I would just get down there, and I'd roll people over because I could do it and not get into trouble. So this behavior just kind of stuck with me, for the longest time. I got into when I was in high school. I had a lot of part-time jobs to help out my mom with finances. I used to work at a deli, and at the end of the night, they used to give me a sandwich to take home, and a lot of the people behind the counter knew my story. So, with my dad, So they would make a sandwich with like a pound of meat on it and a half pound of cheese, and I'd bring it home, and my mother would feed me and my three brothers for 3 days, you know. And they just, you know, people in the neighborhood took care of us. My father was a bartender in the neighborhood, so when he wasn't drinking, he was, you know, the good bartender. I went to college, and I played football in college, and again, just another way for me to take out my anger and frustration and resentments that I had. And my eating continued. You know, I'd come home between classes and practice, and I would buy a pound of meat and two rolls. I'd go into my kitchen. Because I commuted to school. I didn't live on campus. I'd cut the pound of meat in half, and I'd make two sandwiches. And I would just that would be my lunch. And then I would go back, and I would have football practice for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Then I would go to the weight room and lift weights for another hour. And then I'd go back to the gym. If anyone was playing basketball, I played basketball for a little while. I love the game of basketball as well. So I was able to maintain my same body weight. I was 6'4", 248 pounds as a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. And I burned off a lot of the baby fat that I had, and I put a lot of muscle on. I went from bench pressing 185 pounds to 385 pounds in those 4 years. And my senior year of football, I got hurt. I was playing in Lambeau Field, which is where the Green Bay Packers play. And someone came and hit my knee from behind me, bent it in backwards. And the guy that I was blocking fell on top of me and just tore my knee. And that ended my football. But these compulsive food behaviors that I had developed, you know, never changed. So I started to gain weight, and I couldn't play football. I couldn't play basketball for 6 months. And by that time, I was graduating college, and my weight went from 248 to 303 from October to the following May when I graduated because of, you know, my food behaviors. And when I graduated in May, I got a job. I went to work, and on my way to work every morning, I would get two breakfast sandwiches, you know, bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll, and jump on the train and eat the sandwiches on my way to work. I'd have a lunch. I'd come home, and I was living at home, and my mom would make a big dinner. And now I was making a little more money than my part-time jobs, and I was able to help out a little bit more because my father was still drinking. And my weight continued to increase. And now I got involved in playing, we call them bar league sports, football and softball. And you know, and you would play for a keg of beer, and you'd go back to the bar, and you know, a bunch of us, we'd order, you know, pies of pizza. So my seat was right in front of where the bar taps were, and right where they would put the pizza, because I was always fearful of one or both running out and me not getting as much as I could. And that was one of my character defects, and still is, fear. You know, fear of not having, fear of running out, fear of not having enough. I got teased as a kid, and then, you know, when I started playing these, you know, bar league sports, you know, everyone had a nickname, you know, and mine was just very simply Big Brian, you know. And I was 303. I went to 323, and I was still going to the gym. I was still lifting. I was still getting stronger. I started bouncing in bars, and so my habits were just totally not conducive to being healthy. So I graduated in May. I met my wife in December, or now my ex-wife. We met in December. We got engaged the following February. We got pregnant in April. We got married in September. And the following January, my son was born. So, in a matter of 13 and a half months, I went from meeting someone to getting engaged to getting pregnant to getting married and, starting a new, excuse me, starting a new life. My barley sports lessened because of having to work two jobs and now having a son at home. And, my eating habits hadn't changed, and I continued to gain weight. So over the next, close to 30 years, my weight would fluctuate anywhere from, 303 to over 550 pounds. And I would step on a scale in my doctor's office. And, I started writing my story a while ago, and I have a title. And the title of my story is My Starting Weight Was ERR. Every time I stepped on a scale, not every time, but when I had my primary care, I would step on her scale and I would exceed her weight limit. I think the first scale she had was 350, and it just stepped on it, 400 or 500 or, and then finally she got a 550-pound scale, and I'd step on it and would say ERR on it. And my marriage was going downhill at the time. I had three kids at the time, and my eating habits were just horrendous. You don't get to 550 pounds with good eating habits or good eating behaviors. I heard a woman share, she said she had a sponsee, and the sponsee said, what is a compulsive food? She goes, baked potatoes. And so the woman said, if I put 5 pounds of baked potatoes, you could eat all 5 pounds. But and she's like, no, I'd have to put butter and sour cream and bacon bits. And so it wasn't the 5 pounds of butter, it was 5 pounds of potatoes. It was the butter and the sour cream and the bacon. And it made me rethink my red light foods. And it was just a bit of an eye opener, about honesty. And so I came in, my doctor said, hey, this thing called Overeaters Anonymous, it's similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, which I was not familiar with either, even with my father being an alcoholic. And so I was living in Connecticut at this time, and I went to find a group, and I found this group new, not too far from my house. So I said, let me give it a shot. So I went there. And it was me and like six to eight other women. There were no men in the group. They were reading from the book called Abstinence. Now that those are just stories, right? It's like the back of the big book. They're just stories. And for 3 months, this is what I got out of the stories. I went to bed 400 pounds. I woke up happy, joyous, and free. And in 2 months, I weighed 200 pounds. I lost half my body weight. They didn't talk about, how they got there. They just talked about, being free from these defects. And it just confused the hell out of me. No one took any time to sit down and explain the program to me. So I got frustrated and I left. And I told my doctor, I said, listen, doc, this is, they, So she did a little homework, and she found that there was another meeting. So I said, why don't you try this meeting? So I went to that meeting. It was a mix of two men and two women. One man was dating one of the women there, and it was sort of similar. I didn't get anything out of it. I just got more and more frustrated. My weight kept going up. My body was starting to shut down. High blood pressure, high cholesterol. I'll take a little bit of a step back. When I was 13, I had my first knee surgery. When I was 18, playing football in college, or 20, I had my second knee surgery. And by the time I was 46, I had 15 knee operations. And My doctor, I had 13 knee operations and a
Five
14.
minutes.
Wow, that went quick. So needless to say, thank you. Needless to say, I had two total knee replacements and I did a lot of physical therapy. And at 550 pounds, I could walk 100 feet and I'd have to stop. And I'd have to lay on the ground sometimes, just the pressure on my lower back. And it was just not a lifestyle that I needed. And my marriage, I said, was going downhill. I ended up getting divorced. My three children, they don't speak to me today because of it. I found a men's group and I went to the men's group and it was an anniversary meeting, so they had a speaker who spoke for like 30 minutes, and he told my story. He told my story to a T. And I was like, how the hell does this person know who I am? So I went back the next week. He wasn't there, but a bunch of the other men were there. And there were three men in particular that were there every week. And so a couple things happened. One of the men I was talking to after the meeting, and he was very, very big in OA, on the world service level. And he said to me, Brian, how old were you? I said, I was 46. And he goes, when are you going to stop blaming your parents and take responsibility for your own life? And that was kind of a bit of a wake-up call for me. And I said, Bob, you're absolutely right. I need to take accountability for myself. And then another thing that happened to me, I was fighting abstinence, and I was in this store, and it's up in Connecticut. It's just a well-known popular store. Had a great salad bar. So I went to get a salad bar at lunch one time, and I put my lettuce and my tomato and my cucumber, and then on the side they had this hot steam table, and I went over there and I took a little of this, a little of that, and before I knew it, I had 3 pounds of the greasiest food you could eat, and like 5 ounces of salad in there. I put the lid on, I closed it up, and I put it on the scale there, and it was like 3.2 pounds. And I just had this aha moment and saying, Brian, you're just not honest with your food. And that's the number one thing. Step one. So I took step one in a grocery store. I went back to the meeting that night, and I was sitting with my sponsor, and I told him what happened, and I said, I'm ready to go. And we did the steps. I struggled on step four, and he said, let's just go with what you have. So we're going to meet a week from Saturday in a park, and you're going to give me your fourth step. So it forced me to go back and do a little bit more work. And when I went there and I did my fourth step, my fifth step, I was high as a kite. And I say high in the good sense. When I got through my fifth step, I just felt like the world had been lifted off my shoulders. I did a six and seven rather quickly, and I started getting into my amends, and been living in 10, 11, and 12. I did a lot of work at the intergroup level, at the region level, and at the World Service level. I got to go to a World Service Business Conference, and I relapsed when I moved from Connecticut to New York, and I put about 150 pounds back on. I found another sponsor down in New York. And I started working again, and I lost that 150, and I've lost another 150. Now, I think in my entire weight loss journey, when I did my inventory, I've lost since college at 248, I've gained over 2,000 pounds, and I've taken off just about 2,000 pounds, 50 pounds less. I'm 50 pounds more than when I was in college. And I'm just a 301 as of yesterday morning, and I'm struggling to get this 1 pound. And but I know it's in the food. I know I just have to. I'm working with a nutritionist now who's helping me. I'm back in the gym. I'm exercising. I'm on these meetings as many mornings as I can. And I have to get back into doing services, and this is one of the ways. And I lead a much spiritual life now. I have a higher power in my life. A month ago, a month ago today, I got an email for a meeting. I went to the meeting and said, "Brian, we're letting you go. There's about 80 people. We're laying people off. You're one of the people." A week and a half later, they let go another 150 people. This month, they're letting go another 100 and change, almost 200 people. And I'm not worried about it. I haven't picked up over it, because I have a higher power in my life today. And I just, I pray every morning. I used to belong to a group called After You God. So I sat down on my phone this morning, and I invited God into this meeting before me, for him to be my spiritual lead, if you would, to help me with what I was going to say. I haven't shared my story in a very long time, and I'm very grateful because I'm playing that reel back over again as to where I was. I was in court for my divorce. I sat in a chair and I broke the chair. I sat in people's houses and broke chairs in people's houses. I've broken toilets. My clothes have been anywhere. I'm a 3X right now, from a 3X to 7X.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And today, I live a life. It's not the most, glamorous life. But God has given me what I need, and that's all I can ask for, is what I need. I've got a roof over my house. I've got clean clothes. I've got, a clean toothbrush. I can put food in my belly. I have meetings to go to in person and Zoom. I'm in three fellowships. I've got two sponsors, and I have to work each program on its own merits because I have different triggers. The state, the saying of merit, credits from one program don't carry over to another, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And
That's a reminder, Brian.
sure, yeah, thank you, Judy. I'll just wrap up. So, I'm just grateful that I'm back in my OA meetings again, and I'm grateful for you guys being here, for listening to my story and allowing me to share. I take every day as a gift, and I'm just grateful to be here this morning. So thanks for letting me share, everybody, and please enjoy the rest of your day.